I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to Psalm 139. We have been looking at this chapter the last 2 weeks, and in our original plans, we were not going to look at verses 13 through 18, but felt as we had been preaching on these other attributes, doctrines of God, that it would be very profitable for us to at least finish this section. We referred to the last few verses on week one of this Psalm 139. And so we wanted to come back to verses 13 through 18. The Bible says here, and I'm reading from the New King James Version here tonight, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." What a tremendous psalm this is. David has just described God's omnipresence, His omniscience, truths that were both a challenge to him as well as a comfort. There's nowhere that David, nor you or I, can hide from God. How did God get to know David so intimately and completely? That is because He made David. He made you and I. And David points our attention to God's omnipotence as the great creator of human life, of making you and I and every person that has ever lived on this earth. He has known us intimately. He has created us. And the wonder of birth, the wonder of the human body ought to leave us awestruck. I have three children, as you know, and it was a pure joy to see them come into the world. I can't say it was pure joy for my wife, but I was on the easy side of things. I was a little exhausted at times, and by the time I went home, I was ready to go to bed. I had a hard day, but it was sheer joy and excitement inexplicable when we as parents have the joy of seeing our children born, or now our grandchildren born. It is truly something that ought to leave us awestruck at the glory of God. We see it in His creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Unless we forget this body that He has created, the human body also is a marvel of God's great creation. A man by the name of Reverend Adrian Dielman shares a quiz, and I'd like to give you a few quiz questions here at the beginning of the message. Facts about an unborn child that I wasn't aware of, and see how well you do. I perhaps should have had it on the screen for you, but hopefully you can catch on. I'm not going to really ask for you to shout out answers. But if you kept growing all 9 months before you were born, as you did during the second month of your development, how big would you have been at birth? Would you, A, be as big as an adult? B, as an M1 tank? C, a pair of overfed elephants? The answer is, if you would have grown from the second month, as fast as you did in the second month, through the rest of the months before you were born, you would have been C. It's a good thing you slowed down after the second month, because your birth weight would have been 14 tons. At birth. And some of you had large babies at birth. Second question. When did you most likely feel pain for the first time? A, when they cut your umbilical cord. B, when your mom was 7 weeks pregnant? Or C, when your mom had anchovies on her pizza? And the answer is B, by 7 weeks, all the structures necessary for pain sensation were functioning at 7 weeks. That unborn child feels pain. And isn't it a tragedy that so many of them are being aborted in our country? And that child feels that pain. Third question, by the time your mother found out she was pregnant, you were A, a tiny speck smaller than the period at the end of a sentence, B, a miniature human being with arms, legs, and a heartbeat, C, a ball of cells the size of a marble. The answer is B. At 8 weeks, all systems were go. Skeletal, nervous, digestive, circulatory, and respiratory. You were a miniature human being at just 8 weeks, when usually you find out that you're pregnant. Fourth question, when does your mother say you started to kick and poke her? A, 3 months into her pregnancy, B, at 4 months, or C, never mind when you started, when are you going to stop? And the answer is B, at 4 months. But really, after 2 months, you started to shake and roll. And by 4 or 5 months, your mom was sure you had a black belt in karate. Two more questions. Number five, when did you start using your brain? A, when your mom was 8 months pregnant. B, when she was 40 days pregnant. Or C, your parents are still waiting. And the answer is B, brain waves have been detected as early as the 6th week. What do you suppose we were thinking about at 6 weeks? I don't remember. And finally, when was the color of your hair determined? A, at conception. B, 3 months into the pregnancy. C, only your hairdresser knows. The answer is A, at conception. Each parent contributed 50,000 instruction sets, excuse me, or genes that determined what you would look like. Your health, your talents, your taste, athletic abilities, intelligence, allergies, and more. And here I thought I could develop that way after I was born. It all was decided. Why did I even study? You know, academic, it said, athletic, and so forth. The point of the quiz is we need to recognize the truth of what David says in our Bible, of what we just read, that every child, unborn child, truly is fearfully and wonderfully made. It's amazing what modern technology, what science can tell us about the unborn child. And it is even more of a marvel in my mind that there are so many people out there still not recognizing the truth that unborn child is a living human being created by God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. As we looked at Psalm 139 these last few weeks, we've seen in verses 1 through 6 the omniscience of God. We've seen in verses 7 through 12 the omnipresence of God. And tonight, as we look at the human body and particularly the unborn child, we see the omnipotence of God. This section gives us great statements about where life begins and how God's power certainly is displayed. First of all, we'd like to look at the fact in these verses, we are created by God. Verse 13 says, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." The language here is figurative to describe God's sovereign work in our lives. And we have this word form. The King James Version uses the word possess. We have the word form in other translations. This word possess or form literally means created. In Genesis 4:1, Eve said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And literally using the same Hebrew word, she could have said, "I have created a man-child with the help of the Lord." So the idea of possess or form means create. While God, in His sovereign plan, uses the human reproductive process, he is still involved in the creation of each human individual. And we are truly created. The same Hebrew word that is translated form here is found in Jeremiah 1:5, where Jeremiah said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." It's that same word that can also be translated created. So we see we are formed by God. He formed our inward parts. The King James Version uses the word reins, but inward parts really is what it's talking about. And specifically, the word can be translated literally kidney. It refers to the organs, the inward organs of the human being. So God created all of us, including all that's inside us. God created us. And then we see this phrase, "For you covered me in my mother's womb." Now, some of the newer translations, English Standard Version, says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb." And so literally what this word covered means is to weave, as has been translated in the ESV. To knit together as one makes a basket. And God is involved in the process of this unborn child, weaving the bones and the tissues together. God was there. God knit us together in our mother's womb. And the idea is clearly stated at the end of the phrase where that took place. Though we'll notice in a moment in verse 15, it says the uses the phrase the lowest part of the earth, using that as figurative language for the womb also. And what is the psalmist's reaction then in the next verse, in verse 14? He breaks forth in praise over the thought that he was wonderfully made by God. Again, my friend, we need to be awestruck at our amazing God, at His power, His handiwork in creating human flesh. The Bible says here, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well." Even David's limited knowledge, he didn't have the technology. There were not ultrasounds. There were not little pictures or diagrams that we have today of the various development stages of the unborn child. Yet he was awestruck and recognized what God had done, and he was ready to give praise to God. Now, we sang a lot of songs tonight about our marvelous God as Creator, giving thanksgiving to Him, singing praise to Him. And that ought to be flowing forth from our lips day by day, even when we're down and discouraged. We think that God knew us before we were born. God had a plan for us. And that same great God has a plan for you right now, even in your woes, your misery, your discouragement, or grief, or whatever you're going through. This powerful God has control of your life. And David was able to thank God for that. And he said, "I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." He didn't know about perhaps many of these truths that we learn from science, such as 7 weeks. The baby's heart has been beating for perhaps a month. The fingers and toes are already developed. At 8 weeks, every organ is present. And the baby's taste buds are forming. At 9 weeks, the baby can begin sucking its thumb. Fingernails begin to grow. At 10 weeks, the baby will hiccup and react to loud noises. And at 15 weeks, the baby already is 6 inches long and can grasp with its hands and can swim and do somersaults at 15 weeks. David gives praise to Almighty God. He understands how wonderful God's work is in his life. This omniscient God, this omnipresent God, and this omnipotent God who created David and created you and I. Isn't it amazing that there are those out there that can look at the creation, can look at the wonder of the body and say that this happened by accident, through evolution? Or tragically, there are even those who claim to be Christians who say it was through theistic evolution, that God started the spark, but then it yet took billions of years, and we evolved, as many say, from lower forms of life. Sadly, schools and the media erroneously teach that the human body is a result of millions or billions of years because they have given in to Darwinian evolution. No credit is given by them to the one who created these amazing systems to work as one, all working together. Consider our eye construction, the dynamic skeleton, the ability to hear the faintest sound, the brain's amazing activity. The human body is a testament to our awesome Creator. Truly, as the psalmist said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So we've seen that we are truly created by God. Not a direct act as Adam and Eve were, but we are truly part of His creation. But as we continue in the passage, I want you to notice that we are sovereignly superintended by God. Sovereignly, He has been working and He is superintending the process. It is not by accident or mistake that you are what you are today, with whatever handicaps that you might have, with whatever difficulties that we might have, for we are not perfect physically or emotionally, and certainly not spiritually. The Bible says here in verse 15, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." There's a parallel there, particularly the last half of verse 15 with the last half of verse 13, using figurative language to point out that the lowest part of the earth, the dark, deep, unknown world, is speaking here about the womb of your mother, of my mother, when God worked in our life and created us. God sovereignly shaped the conception, and fetal development. He is described here in this text, using again the ESV, saying the last part of verse 13, "You knitted me together." The last part of verse 15, "We were intricately woven in the depths of the earth." He uses terminology of knitting us or weaving us. These are very descriptive words, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but from what I understand, very descriptive words. And we even in the English language understand the description of one who would weave, one who would knit. It takes creative ability. It takes some skills to do that, bringing the various threads together to form whatever one is knitting or a tapestry. In fact, the word for woven is actually the word for embroider. It is the same word that is used in Exodus 38:23 for the work of an embroiderer making the tapestry for the tabernacle, bringing together the blue, the purple, and the scarlet yarn and the fine linen. This was cloth for God's abiding place. Very expensive fabric that is used to describe that person who brought that all together. And that's the terminology that is used, that God brought you together, brought the various parts of your body together, describing His marvelous plan as a knitting process, as a weaving process. God does make us according to His plan, weaving and knitting us within our mother's womb. And our whole person, our identity, personality, and character is designed by God with His sovereign plan, His sovereign purpose for our life. And David is secure in knowing that. And he says here in verse 17, "When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body." Now, many in the world would say this is just some tissue, a blob of matter. But this is a very special human being that God knew, God had a design for. In Jeremiah 1:5, that God determined He would be His man, His prophet. God saw you and I when we were just a ball of cells, unformed mass of molecules, undeveloped, with nothing to distinguish us from another human being, though at just a few weeks there are distinguishing characteristics. God has wonderfully created us, sovereignly superintending us. And then verse 16, David says, "Your eye saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." While before you and I were born, we were not just a blob. God knew everything about us before we were born. How long we would live. What we would do with our life. Whether we would serve God or not serve God. Whether we would trust in Him or not. Whether we would be faithful. We cannot interfere with the plans of God from our birth date to our death date. That is all part of the plan of God, even in that unformed being that we were, whether it was 2 days, 2 months, or 9 months. God makes us who we are, knows who we will become. God ordained every aspect of our lives. All the days are ordained for me and were written in your book before one of them came to be. God certainly knew about that. And we can have great encouragement and great dependence on our Almighty God, knowing His power and His grace in our lives because of these truths. And then thirdly, I want you to notice in verses 17 and 18, because of the fact that we are created by God, because of the fact that He sovereignly superintended this creation of the unborn flesh, thirdly, we truly are blessed by God. We are of all people most blessed. We are different from the animal world. God created us in His image. God created us with a conscience, with an ability to know God and to recognize that He is a supreme creator. And ultimately, it is through the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Unregenerate mankind needs to hear the truth. They can't see the gospel in the constellations or in their conscience, but they know there is a God. And what David says here in verse 17, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." God's knowledge of us is amazing. It is unbelievable. We are always in the presence of God. We saw that, the doctrine of the omnipresence of God last week. We cannot hide from Him. And David said all of these thoughts. He perhaps is summarizing everything up to this verse that has been cited in this chapter. All of these thoughts are precious to Him. David didn't look at God as some tyrant, some ogre, somebody who is just there at every corner to judge him and pounce on him. It was comforting. Certainly, as we've said before in this study, knowing the attributes of God can be very convicting. And David said in this psalm at the end, "Search me, O God, try me." He wanted to make sure he was right with God. An open book. For God to examine, who does examine and will examine and does know our heart. But God's blessings, as he thought about all these truths that he recorded in this Psalm 139, are innumerable. If I could count them, they are more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee, he is saying. We truly are a miracle. God's creation is a miracle. And we should never lose sight of the wonder and the glory of God's creation. And as Mike Cohn mentioned this morning, as we're singing one of the hymns, it was talking about the fact that the morning dawn or the sunset, I don't know if the song said the sunset, but either is just a beautiful picture, tapestry in the heavens, in the skies, to say that God is. He is a big God, a powerful God, and I get great assurance from that. How about you? And that He cares about wee little me, even before I was born. He knew who I would be, who I would marry, how many children I would have, had a plan for my life, and He has a plan for my life at age 55 to whatever day He takes me home to be with Him. We are a miracle in the midst of an amazing miracle of a wonderful creation of God. Happened to view a DVD this week portion of this, a man by the name of Louis Giglio, talks about how big our God is and shares a little truths and some statistics about this great big God and this creation that He has given. Now, if we were to just think about our solar system and particularly focus on Earth and the Sun, we all know that the Earth is relatively small compared to the Sun, that it is the closest star and a very large star. But to put it in perspective, if you and I lived on an Earth, and we do live on Earth, by the way, if we were to describe the Earth the size of a golf ball, this, by the way, is Pastor Joey's golf ball. Surprise that he has any of these. But if Earth was the size of this golf ball, in perspective, the Sun, if it were behind me in a diagram, I'm sorry we don't have it as a diagram, would be much larger than that screen, would be 15 feet in diameter. And you put up the Sun next to that, or the Earth, as a golf ball next to that. Or think of it this way, you could fit 960,000 of these in the Sun. It's a pretty big star. Pretty big God. And guess what? You and I are somewhere on that. Can you find you on there? Can you see you? And God knows all the billions of people that are on this little golf ball. And that's just one of hundreds of billions of stars in this great universe. The second largest star, let's talk about that for a moment. If the Earth were a golf ball, the second largest star would be the height of six Empire State Buildings. That's the second largest star. That star is many million light years away. I forget exactly how many. So if we were to go to New York City and stand at the Empire State Building, we'd have to have five more. And there we are, next to the second biggest star. Do we have an awesome God? And we're here somewhere, and He cares about you and I. We began as two cells. Today you are over 75 trillion cells. You and I have enough DNA that if we were stretched from end to end, would go from here to the moon and back. To think about all this, that God knows you and I by name. He knows you and I intimately. And He knew you and I intimately when we were in our mother's womb. He knows us, every aspect of us. And Psalm 33 has several verses that can be an encouragement to us, reminding us, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let Your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in You. We have an unfailing God. He cares for you and I. And the eye of the Lord is on those, and from this Psalm 33, who fear Him, who hope in a steadfast love. Our God will carry us through every circumstance, whether it's happiness and joy or sadness or great difficulty. He will carry you through in the palm of His hand and help you. Whatever you're struggling with right this moment, He does have a plan. If He had a plan, if He knew all that is described in Psalm 139, before you and I were born, how much more in our born condition, where we can speak and act and fulfill His will, does He have that plan and have His hand upon us? It is comforting. But to those who are walking away from God, who do not fear Him, it is reason for grave concern. And my dear friend, what are you waiting for? You're just a little speck on here. And sometimes we think we're a lot bigger than our God. We know more than our God. We have a better plan than our God. What are we waiting for? To get right with Him. To walk with Him. To confess our sins. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him. Shall we bow together in prayer?